It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Dr. Shumba, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being here again.
So today we're talking about a subject that has been very triggering for me all week long, but very beneficial nonetheless. Talking about the concept of unity, the power of unity today, and navigating differences in marriage. It's a very difficult concept. Differences. Every couple faces differences, whether in personality, in background, in preferences, raising children, finances, sexuality. There are a lot of differences that couples experience. But what does the Bible say about achieving unity in marriage despite these differences? One person prefers to beat their children. Another person does not prefer to beat their children. One person prefers not to have sex every day. Another person feels it must be sex every day. Another one says there is nothing wrong with alcohol. Another one says, yes, there is something wrong with alcohol. There are a lot of people who have differences in marriage. Now we need to have a frank discussion about it. First and foremost, is it natural to have couples differing, especially when they are equally yoked? We're moving from the premise that they are equally yoked, they believe in the same God in the way that God wants them to believe. Should those people, those believers, differ?
Thank you very much. I think that's a cardinal question you've asked. First of all, we need to understand that differences are God created.
Oh.
Yes. Remember when God says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, that man should not be alone, I'll create a helper for him.
Right.
Now, there are two words there that translators of the Bible have tried to work around to make them make sense. Some versions would translate a helper suitable for him. Others would translate a helper who is his partner. But the key word there that is being used actually can be translated as one who is against him or opposite him.
You?
Which means God created men and women in opposite ways, in different ways. They are not similar. We are different by creation. So the most important thing is to accept that reality and learn from it.
Right. So how then, how can couples embrace that reality, the differences, while striving for unity in marriage?
Number one, those are meant to complement each other, those differences. I'll give an example. In business, they say when two people have made a contract to work together, and then they think the same way, then one is not necessary.
Okay.
So those differences are what complement you, what helps you bring together different perspectives to have one purpose or one God together. So we need to know how to embrace those differences as God-given differences for our own growth and complementary relationship.
Teach us the how part, Dr. Shumba, because it's the how part that is difficult. While it sounds good and well that people who are having opposite views, they're meant to complement one another, the ultimate result tends to be contradiction and controversy as opposed to complementing. Teach us how us having different opinions can be complementary one to another.
Number one, probably the key point which the Bible does suggest is an issue of humility. You know, when couples are seeking mutual humility and mutual respect, then they'll be able to align their differences for the purpose of growth. Unity in marriage requires this humility and respect of different viewpoints, because we must appreciate that and must be willing to learn and understand and value those differences, because they'll help us grow at the end of the day.
Okay.
I don't know if we can capture this in Philippians 2, verse 3 to 4, which says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit.
Right.
Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the other. So here, probably, we need to appreciate those differences and value them for what they can help us achieve at the end of the day.
Okay. Okay. So let's talk about the Bible then, Dr. Shumba. What biblical principles can help couples navigate disagreements and conflicts?
Probably one of those is let's rather seek unity than uniformity.
What's the difference?
Here we should... Okay. Unity is being able to bring our differences and use those to shape one direction. While similarity is doing the same thing. For instance, if today I tell my wife, let's have sausages for lunch. I says, oh, that's a good one. Then supper, I say, let's have chicken. Then she says, well, it's like you entered my mind. I was also thinking of chicken. Now, if your wife thinks the way you think, she will always contribute to what you're bringing across. When you think of chicken, let her think of vegetables or salads. Then complement, then you eat chicken and salads. So that complementary is very, very important.
Okay. And so how does the concept of two becoming one apply to marriage today?
The concept of two becoming one in marriage, probably this concept really narrows down to the same point of complementary relationships. And at the same time, what really makes you one is basically the values that you espouse together, the dream that you share together. It is more to do with emotional or physical unity than basically to think the same way. So this is a principle probably that is the Bible is trying to articulate to us today.
Okay. What role does mutual respect? Remember, we spoke about mutual submission and we spent some time on the concept of mutual submission. I'm looking forward to hear how you're going to approach this one about mutual respect. So what role does mutual respect play in handling differences?
I think mutual respect, remember, it allows you to accept the other the way the person is. It allows you, in fact, it also brings in more closely the idea of humility, whereby you are able to become humble, to become vulnerable, and to become more objective in how you look at things.
Right.
Probably one area we could talk about is that mutuality creates a safe space for open communication.
Okay.
Because yeah, when there's respect, then you respect your friend's opinion, you respect your friend's feelings, you respect your friend's concerns. That in itself promotes mutuality.
Okay.
And partners are likely to listen without being judgmental and are able to engage in a dialogue in an honest manner.
Right.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Here's my final question there, Dr. Shumba. How can couples create a shared vision that aligns their differences toward a common purpose?
For a shared vision?
A shared vision that will align.
Just like in planning, I think a shared vision begins by identifying values and goals that both partners share. So this could be, for instance, family life or career aspiration or personal growth or spiritual beliefs. These goals and values, if you share them and understand what matters most to both of the partners, helps to create this unified vision.
Perhaps the you could expound on the how part, because when parent or the woman's parents raise the woman, they raise her to have her own dreams and her own career and her own aspirations. When the husband's parents raise the young man, they raise him to have his own dreams, career, and aspirations. Now, when they come together, having lived their divergent and different lives, having their own separate and distinct individual visions, how do we merge those together?
This is very cardinal. I think your question is very, very important. The most important thing is sitting down, discussing, and identify values and goals that you share. Right. You have highlighted that each one of you is brought up in a different with different aspirations. But as Christians, we need to build common aspirations, common beliefs, and it is these beliefs when we share and become our focus that we begin to pursue them.
So, do you want to share with us how you can bring those? Because remember, when we finally meet, I meet this woman, she's 40 years old, I am now 46. Then what's going to happen? I mean, she has already lived her life, I've lived my life. When you're saying we need to build a common understanding, how do we do that? Just pinpoint the how part.
Probably here is, for instance, there are specific things that probably people can identify as their goals and objectives. For instance, as a couple, you can begin to say, how can we achieve financial stability? How can we raise our children to become of strong values and morals? When we identify those objectives and goals, that is the basis for uniting our vision and objectives.
Okay.
So we need to look at what is it that can improve our relationship. Probably could it be developing humility itself? Do we need to be more humble that we can hear each other better and more actively?
Right.
Exactly. I think those are the things that we need to begin to set as our goals. Hence, these goals must become common goals. If we see them as essential for our marriage, if we see them as contributing to a better marriage, then those goals are the ones that we need to share, we need to discuss, and see how best can they make us improve our relationship.
Okay. All right. I hear you. I got it. Thank you very much, Dr. Shumba. Dr. Shumba, we've come to the end of our series this week, which has been very, very interesting and very helpful for me particularly, and hopefully with everybody else who's been listening. I really appreciate your time and your insights. May God richly bless you and your ministry. And I hope that we can meet again and have more conversations like these, Dr. Shumba.
Thank you very much. I just want to admit that the issue of common goals and values might require more elaboration and more time to discuss them in depth than what we have. But I think that the very few that we have highlighted, we can start to begin to build from there.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Shumba. Have a wonderful Sabbath tomorrow and a good preparation day today.
I greatly appreciate that I could be part of this. I just hope that our conversation has helped one or two couples out there learn something of how they can build and strengthen their marriages.
I really
look forward to more time when we can have more discussions in depth.
We will. We will. Thank you very much, Dr. Shumba.
You're welcome.
All right. That's it for today as far as our daily focus is concerned.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.